with regard to, there were questions regarding appeals, et cetera. Just so the common council is aware, one of the, let's say, standard forms of appeals that are taken upon municipal decisions, and there is an overall, if someone is aggrieved by a decision of a board or commissioner, officer, et cetera, in the city of Franklin, under the UDO, Unified Development Ordinance, they may petition the court for a writ of certiorari. There's four factors. This is just one method, but this, in essence, is the realm of local government decision making. What the court would look at is, number one, whether board, commission, council, number one, kept within its jurisdiction, number two, acted according to law, number three, did not act arbitrarily or unreasonably or according to its will and not its judgment, and number four, made a decision based on evidence one might reasonably use to make the determination in question. The Common Council directed that I review, in effect, if there was any availability to the Common Council to take any further action based on, as I recall from the last meeting, and aldermanic comments that, well, this is new information, we weren't aware of that, and in part my recollection was to that involved different alternate means of water provision, public water provision to the area, as well as conditions of the property with regard to flooding, and that DNR should review the property in that regard and soil conditions, etc. So, and this is frankly a rare procedural action. Under letters and petitions, after I made some comments earlier during a motion to direct staff not to take any further action with regard to the project, and then later on there was just this motion to have the city attorney review it. What I'm going to respond to the council per their direction is that I think a technical procedural availability is a motion to rescind, which is the same as, in effect, a motion to repeal a prior action. And that would be the March 3 action on the extension of water to the property without the water public improvement extending to the end of the lot line. Robert's Rules, Section 35, 11th edition, page 305, there's a subsection 2 there. First few words, can be applied to anything, e.g. bylaw, rule, policy, decision, or choice. Matters that cannot be rescinded, actions that cannot be rescinded or amended. Number one, when it has previously been moved to reconsider the vote, that did not occur here, so that does not apply. Number two, when something has been done as a result of the vote on the main motion, that is impossible to undo. Wisconsin courts have addressed that particular issue as someone has gained or obtained vested rights because they acted in reliance on the motion. I have no information whatsoever on whether or not the applicant here has obtained any vested rights which might be asserted. And number three, states when a resignation has been acted upon or a person has been elected, et cetera, so it goes through membership, which is inapplicable here. So it appears that procedurally, a motion to rescind may be available. I'm not recommending the council undertake that action. There are concerns about actions at the last meeting about directing staff not to proceed, as well as providing for public hearings on matters which are permitted uses, which under Federal Fair Housing Act and Americans with Disabilities Act can be claimed to be discriminatory. Nonetheless, I did prepare some motions based upon what I'm recalling being stated about insufficient evidence or insufficient information before the council on March 3rd. And I'm hearing, perhaps in the council's discretion and judgment, more of that factual information concerned with regard to roads this evening. But all that being said, a motion could be a motion to rescind the March 3, 2015 Common Council action on that item G4, which provided for public water extension to the property at 9132 South 92nd Street without full extension of the improvement to the property boundary due to insufficient information as to alternatives with regard to the routing of service to that area and the public water system as a whole, the cost comparison expenditures of public funds for such potential alternate routes, and the description of the developed and undeveloped areas of the city which may be served by the public water supply for such potential alternate routes, and also due to after the fact factual information concerns regarding the natural resources on the property and in the area, which are currently under review by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, which department review has not been completed. And if the council so decides, and again, I'm not recommending this, there could be a further motion to direct staff to provide all of that subject information in the motion, as well as ultimately the report from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to the Board of Water Commissioners for review and recommendation, then return to the Common Council for its consideration and potentially two other motions, one to direct the Plan Commission, if the council acts accordingly, to consider the rescission of the site plan approval because one of the conditions was based upon a potential agreement or an agreement with regard to the extension of water so that it was all in writing. And third, or the last one would be a motion to direct the Board of Water Commissioners to review and recommend about the alternate route info and the DNR information when received. And one further thing, under Robert's rules, motion to rescind. There are two different voting requirements. One would be if the subject board, body, or commission, if the subject matter arises at a meeting and a member moves that the board consider the rescission, that rescission item at its next meeting, then it's a two meeting step, and then it's a simple majority vote. If it just is a arises at a meeting like it would under this general subject matter on this agenda, then the vote requirement would be a majority of all the members of the council, which would be 4 votes.
Which is simple majority.
No, it's a super majority. It's majority of all the members of the common council. The mayor does not count unless the mayor votes. So it's 4 members, majority of all the members.
I don't have to remind the council this is serious stuff. There is risk involved here, and I would urge no changes to the wording of the city attorney. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I was actually going to suggest a couple changes or insertions. One of them, wondering if we could add under the Unified Development Ordinance, it allows for instability of soils. A question on that. There were no soil borings taken. There was so we had insufficient evidence on soils, and the soils are Elliott silt 2%, which can have water 3 feet below the surface. The other one would be the inconsistency with the comprehensive master plan, as noted by the residents. Someone at some point had the right idea when they realized how wet and how heavily hydric the soils were, that this is conservation on the master plan. It's solid green. So that would be, to me, an inconsistency. The statutes under, I think it's 66.23, I could have that wrong, talk about no action shall be taken by a body that is inconsistent with the comprehensive master plan. And I might have that 66.3 might be the waterway one, but I'm sure the city attorney can determine what that is. Are those appropriate, city attorney?
Mr. City Attorney.
With regard to the comprehensive master plan, I don't have Wisconsin statute section 66.1001 in front of me, but the consistent with requirement refers to ordinances such as rezoning or creating a new subdivision ordinance, not a site plan for a permitted use. So the comprehensive master plan consistency requirement does not pertain to a site plan approval or a motion to extend water. If there was a need to rezone this property, then it would have to be consistent with, because that's a rezoning ordinance. It's a zoning ordinance. That has to be consistent with.
Okay. So the fact that the map shows it as conservancy, but it's still zoned that, is what you're saying. And I don't know if this matters, but one of the conditions were to, number 7 was to have the natural resource protection plan submitted by the applicant. I thought that came with the plan commission, which is what it's supposed to do. Maybe had, you know, more than 3 members, half the plan commission was gone. Maybe had the rest of the plan commission members been present, maybe that question would have been brought up. But it also says it's subject to a city consultant review, which I brought up at the last meeting, that we don't have a contract for a city consultant review. And I think we need to address that. If we're going to keep using a city consultant, the council needs to have them under contract and know what they're doing for the city. That contract has been expired for a long time. So I've asked that to come in at the last meeting. I'm going to ask that again. Mayor, can you get that?
Fine. It's not on the motion. It's not on the table.
I know, but it's
something. Is there an action regarding this item? We can talk about it all night, or we can take an action. Alderman Mayor.
I just have a question regarding the information, and Nick, maybe you have to answer this. The letters that have been sent to the DNR requesting the concurrence on the wetlands and the navigability delineations show that it's only done on a portion of the site plan. I'm wondering if that has been reviewed and if the DNR is doing it on the entire site plan now.
Yes, we confirmed with the applicant. Their request was for, I think we heard back from them on April 16th, that they did request that the wetland delineation confirmation be for the entire 15.5 acres.
Wetland delineation, the concurrence letter and the navigability?
Correct.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a confirmation. The DNR does not go out and delineate wetlands. They'll take a look and confirm that the delineations that were done look correct.
Based on?
A site visit.
So they will visit the site?
DNR will visit the site. They will not delineate the wetlands, but confirm that the wetland delineations look to be correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Dandridge.
Mr. Attorney, if upon our vote on March 3rd, the Matt Talbot Group went out and purchased and closed on the land, does that infringe on item number 2 that you referenced about possibly a deterrent to considering a motion to rescind? Because now they exhausted and they spent money on buying a lot on a vote that we made. And I'm concerned about, if that is the case and we do this, what is the potential outcome financially to the city, and what is the potential effect that in all of this and exhausting resources and financial dollars that then Matt Talbot also gets to build their facility after we've lost a lawsuit.
Mr. City Attorney.
Well, the argument would be that they've vested their rights because they've taken action, which is not undoable as a result of that particular decision. City Attorney's Office is not recommending taking action on any of these. And I'm not going to repeat on the record, but I mentioned all the prior litigations, and that those were mentioned by lawyers for this applicant.
Alderwoman Evans.
And Mr. City Attorney, you said a lawsuit could be up to $500,000. Did you reference that?
Mr. City Attorney.
No, that was the City of Milwaukee case historically, which was decided in 2002 by the Seventh Circuit, the United States Court of Appeals.
Thank you.
And I will mention that this has been reviewed with counsel for the League of Wisconsin Mutual, Municipalities Mutual Insurance Company with regard to process for this meeting, as well as potential motions, et cetera.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I had asked previously to see if we could rescind this, which I don't remember when that date would have been. Do you remember the date of that, City Attorney? When I called you, it was right before the last meeting. I missed it by one meeting.
Mr. City Attorney?
Sometime after second meeting in March, and the question was reconsideration. It was not anything that could procedurally be done.
Okay. Well, I understand the concerns about the lawsuit and the vested rights, and it's unfortunate that this didn't happen a lot sooner. I looked on the county's website. This property was heading into foreclosure on the county records. The property taxes were paid off by a title company. I think the date was March 23rd. So the probability that they have vested in this is there. That's the unfortunate part. Does the attorney would like to speak?
Mr. City Attorney.
I don't think it's fair to premise it that vested or unvested makes or breaks the case. Puts it right back at day one. Is this a permitted use? Is extension of water a reasonable accommodation? That's the case.
Okay. So the, I don't know, when I made my vote, I thought I was basically kind of doing a business a favor based on the previous CBRF. And I definitely feel like I did not have all the evidence, as you suggested. So I guess I'd like a little bit more legal direction on what I said about the taxes and what you think that outcome could be and how you feel you could defend this and the possibilities on that.
Mr. City Attorney.
If there's a motion to rescind and there have been vested rights, then the motion to rescind is not valid. That's the result.
Okay.
And whether or not there's any claim for damages or the like, or attorney's fees, theoretically could occur with or without a motion to rescind. There's already a motion at the last meeting to direct staff to take no further action.
So, I guess what you're saying is the risk is there because of the previous motion, and the risk isn't there if they didn't, or if the, how'd you say that about previous action that had happened? Could you brief that up again?
Mr. City Attorney.
Entirety of the circumstances here and the questions from citizens and the like, it's not one simple question. It branches out into multiple questions, and for most of those the answer is yes, this could happen. That could happen. And so it's just very difficult that, and I'm not going to pretend that anyone can give you a cut and dried answer. Here is actually what will happen.
The next question, Mr. Attorney, is going to put you in a kind of an uncomfortable position. I'm sorry for that, but if we wanted to help the residents who are asking us for our help, what advice would you give to this council to assist them with their concerns on this matter and the water issue?
Mr. City Attorney.
Well, I think one answer would be that started with the suggestion at the Plan Commission to the operator that the operator should meet with the adjoining residents. Number two, I am aware that area residents contacted State Department heads with the Bureau of Assisted Living, and there is a process with regard to the licensure. That's state process, state licensure. But I mentioned at the last meeting, I believe, after calling them, that municipality under the state licensure process may be part of an advisory local committee along with the operator and the residents. I'm unaware that that has ever been done in the city of Franklin. I could be wrong that I don't recall staff ever doing that or the common council. That could be done. Also, part of the case law discusses complaints. City of Milwaukee case, concern for public safety, some residents might be constitute a danger, etc. Increased traffic, flooding problems, and the court said those are of no moment. And I'll just leave it at that, but you can read the decision yourself. The Wisconsin statutes do allow for, if a licensed community-based residential facility is established within between 11 and 13 months thereafter, the common council, should it have concerns or there be reports with regard to the operations of the facility, may conduct a public evidentiary hearing with regard to the operations. With the common council decision-making process thereafter based on the evidence. So if there's a hearing, that's where that could occur. So there's actually a legal statutory provision allowing to review something that was approved, and then ultimately it could be required to cease operations if it is a problem.
Yeah, that's... That's after the fact. I guess
that's correct.
I was looking for more of a preventative.
Well, the problem is, and I read the 1977 legislative purpose into the record, that the residents of these homes are to be treated like families, etc. There's a 1979 Attorney General Bronson LaFollette opinion on the subject. There's a 1987 Attorney General Don Hathaway opinion, which says these are permitted uses when you don't have the 2,500 foot requirement involved. I went through the 26 Wisconsin state and federal cases that address the subject matter of the statutes and community-based residential facilities, as well as an 11 edition using other search terms such as the community living arrangement and the like. Went through somewhere in the neighborhood of five or six very detailed League of Wisconsin Municipalities legal opinions on the subject matter. I looked.
Would you yield to the Alderman of the District?
Yes.
Alderman Mayor.
I have a question regarding, from 1977. I mean, a lot of those laws are based on, I would think, the purchase of existing homes. Do you feel as though there's, changes in the law regarding the building of these new facilities?
No, it goes to the location. It's just the location. The Milwaukee case, the statute says that you can require a special exception, like a special use in Franklin or conditional use elsewhere, if there's another community living arrangement within 2,500 feet, a half mile approximately, of this site. City of Milwaukee took testimony from all the area residents. There was another existing CBRF within, off the top of my head, 353 or 58 feet of the proposed site. There were two within the statutory 2,500 foot limit that allowed for this special exception or conditional use process. It wasn't a permitted use. And there were two more immediately outside of the 2,500 feet. And the Eastern District for the federal court Milwaukee decided against Milwaukee, and then it went up to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals said, no, This case, unlike what the district court earlier said, including in Greenfield and Greendale, where the 2,500-foot standard is preempted by the Federal Fair Housing and Americans with Disabilities Act, we're not going to go to that extent because we don't think we have to, because all of the evidence that the city of Milwaukee put forward as here is a reason to not grant this reasonable accommodation, and that was concern for safety of area resident psychiatrist or psychologist and his spouse testified that they've had experience with the type of people that were going to be residing there, and they can become violent. Increased traffic, traffic being a danger to the people residing in that house because it's traffic. No sidewalks, and that's a danger. No sufficient, might be a different case on the ingress and egress. And flooding problems. And one of the pieces of Milwaukee evidence was a resident of some other from that operator's group homes grounding. And this was a flooding concern area. And there was evidence of the operators in other group homes operated by that operator of state licensure type violations. I could read that to you, but I mean, there were four, five, or six. They're violating their license or doing things that would look to be a problem. And the court said that evidence is simply not sufficient. And it does not come down to overruling or preempting the 2,500-foot standard. It comes down to the Federal Fair Housing Americans with Disability Act requiring reasonable accommodation for the disabled. The party, the operator, had submitted this site as a reasonable accommodation site, and all of that evidence that Milwaukee put into the record, the court said, that does not show that the site is unreasonable. Milwaukee did not meet its burden. And there's a note in the case, this was 2002, the whole process started in the later 1990s. There were two disabled folks that they had state grants that were time limited, so after the case started, probably first in the Eastern District Court, Milwaukee agreed to let those two folks move in, and there was a footnote in the case that by the time it was at the Court of Appeals, there were already six, there was an agreement to have the six people move into the place. So the development occurred, or the use as a community-based residential facility already occurred, and then Milwaukee lost compensatory damages and attorney's fees after that.
Hold on, Will.
So we have an ordinance that protects the city from flooding and traffic and safety issues, but we can't apply any of it? I guess one thing I see on this is the fact that the Plan Commission was only half there, and it should have never moved forward from the Plan Commission. Had that have not happened, had there been a request from the mayor to have a suspend the regular order of business, or had there been a request from the mayor to have the item tabled until the district alderman, at least the people that would have been present in the district could have come forward and had time to bring more information. And now they've had a little time to bring some of this stuff up, and it seems to me like there were no requests for soil borings, there was no comparison with the master plan as far as this being a conservancy area, there was nothing looked into on the state road access. I guess I'm wondering, do we have Plan Commission members that are sitting out there that don't understand our ordinance and the questions they could even ask? to help out the residents? Because I know the few of them that were missing would have asked the questions. And that troubles me. So, I don't know. I'm very disappointed in the process of how this went. And I know the residents are very disappointed. And I don't see where we're able to offer them anything because of the way that this whole procedure went.
Well, once again, Alderwoman, you mentioned a couple of things that are factually inaccurate and out of the control of the city. First is, comprehensive master plan and a designation as conservancy has nothing to do with the zoning of the land. The zoning of the land controls the use. Plan Commission had no authority to look at the master plan because it was a use of an existing zoning parcel. So to imply that this Plan Commission operated...
I just want them to ask the questions. That's all.
They knew the answers to the questions.
I'll bet I can call them up right now.
Now, Alderwoman, you continually criticize me for interrupting you, and now you're interrupting me.
I'm sorry. I do apologize.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The road issue on Highway 100 is a moot point because, frankly, it's a state issue, and they've already purchased the right-of-way. So let me try to offer some things for the residents.
Okay.
First thing is we have the applicant establish that advisory board and get the citizens on board and aldermen of the district on board. We can do that. I don't know what the procedure is, but we'll find out. Okay, we'll get that done. I'm certain that the residents nearby, as well as the aldermen, as well as the health department, will keep a close eye on this facility if and when it gets built. We'll do that. We'll also make sure that the DNR does their appropriate delineation. We don't have any control over that, but we'll make sure that we put it, make sure that the building complies with the city ordinances. Excuse me, ma'am. You demand respect, you need to give it as well. So that's what I believe that we can offer the citizens. There may be other things, but that's what comes to mind. Alderwoman Mayer.
I think there's a point to be made, you know, for instance, at the Plan Commission meeting, if the meeting or if the agenda item should have even moved forward at all, but the questions that needed to be asked and the points that needed to be made are the fact that, yes, you don't need to bring up the fact that, you know, the comprehensive master plan doesn't match the zoning. I understand that. But knowing that it is a conservancy property, knowing that it's really wet, should have made the DNR delineations and navigability and all of that much more important to be figured out before a decision was made on something. So I believe that the Plan Commission was making decisions based on information that they have no idea. So I'm disappointed in that, and I need to find out how we can fix that kind of situation so that we are actually working with information from the DNR that protects the natural resources of the city. We are going to be dealing with the DNR for development all over the city of Franklin because it is just a city that has to deal with the DNR. So knowing that, the Plan Commission or the planning staff knows that, you're nodding your head that you know that, why is it that these decisions are made without the DNR approval? And they made some comment over there at the police station about, oh, it was, you know, winter and you can't have, well, it's Wisconsin, so deal with it. You're not going to get to build in spring then. You have to have the DNR stuff. What can we do right now to fix the situation so that it doesn't happen. If I could please get some help with that, I would appreciate it.
I'll start, and then Mr. Fuchs, if you want to jump in. The reason that there was not significant, and correct me, Nick, if I go astray here, because I want to be accurate, it's my understanding that for this particular package, as well as many others, the natural resources and the wetlands were delineated based on current existing maps, and the development did not fall within any areas that would impact the wetlands. The concurrence of the DNR is important. It's great. I encourage that. So I don't have an issue with that, but...
I just have a question real quick.
Yes, ma'am.
The maps that were looked at to figure out what the wetlands are, how old are they? You know, how is that determined without actually having someone do delineation?
Mr. Fuchs. Wetland delineations are good for 5 years. These delineations were done in October of 2014. Wetlands were not being disturbed, so DNR approval is not required. So there's not approval because they frankly don't need it.
Okay, so what in the Plan Commission packet, they asked for DNR approval of that before the site plan would be approved by the Plan Commission? I don't know if it was...
Did the Plan Commission requested that?
I believe so, yeah. One of the requirements.
And one of the conditions was for our consultant to get back, because we have a consultant that reviews the Natural Resource Protection Plan, and they review the accuracy for that, and we're still waiting those comments.
We're still waiting for that.
Correct.
Okay, so why would we be making a decision if we're still waiting for...
Typically, that's not uncommon in projects to have that condition. As I think you stated, you can have projects going through the process and at times when wetland delineations cannot occur in winter, so it's a condition of approval. If our consultants find any problems or if a wetland was incorrectly delineated, then they'd have to show that. If it impacted development, then the plan would have to go back, assuming it would have to be revised.
So there's a possibility that they would have to go back and revise something if the DNR comes back with their stuff. So they could have possibly purchased some property without correct information anyway.
Correct. I mean, based on everything staff's looked at, just best available information from their consultants, it's not, we're not aware or believe that anything was missed.
Okay, and who does the soil borings?
It's the developer, depending on the project. I'd have to go back to state statutes typically if a well or septic's being done, then the developer would have the soil borings done.
Okay.
That's a construction issue, not a zoning or approval. If the soils can't support the building, then they don't build the building, or they modify their design.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, actually, there is a provision in the ordinance that allows to ask for soil borings if there's a question about the soil stability. So planning staff or the Plan Commission has that right to ask that. We're going to have a similar situation when we get the CALIS crew on wetlands and requests for DNR and Corps and floodplains and FEMA and all of those type of things. I'm bringing out a document from 2001 that was prepared by Bonestro, who was our stormwater consultant and worked on a project, specifically the Franklin Woods project.
Does this relate to item G2?
It absolutely does. In conclusion of their report, it says, caution that final authority rests with the appropriate agencies. Final certification of the wetland boundaries rests with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and or the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We just seem to not want to take that step. We keep saying we looked at best available, we looked at their delineations. I have other documents here that talk about wetland concurrence. The DNR can be requested, as you know, to do a wetland boundary concurrence to make sure that those boundaries are right. And if I continue to bring up, if you don't get a navigability determination from the Corps, you don't know which one of the setbacks to apply under our ordinance. 15-4 has two different setbacks, 50 feet and 75 feet. If it's a shoreline, it's a navigable water, you've got a 75 feet, and that's why we made the previous motion to have that looked at. And to say everything looked good, do you know how many times I've walked development sites and they've completely missed wetlands? If you're not looking at that and you're not sending someone out there, they're going to get away with whatever they can. Not all developers are like that, but there are developers like that. And I can count a whole bunch of them in my time working in the city where that's happened. So I would suggest that instead of taking the word of the person who needs to have the financial benefit the most, that we start asking for these agencies that we're basically paying with our tax dollars to do, be there and help us and represent us, and ask for their assistance. That's what they're there for.
Okay, I offered some suggestions to the Common Council. Is there actions relating to this particular agenda item, G2?
I'm sorry, what were those?
That we work with the developer to make sure that the advisory committee gets assembled and active. Of course, the aldermen, and I can't dictate this, but that the aldermen and the neighbors, use the proper words here, maintain oversight to the facility during its operation and work with the City Department of Health and any perceived issues, and I forgot what my third one was. It was so long ago.
Make sure that the DNR does the appropriate delineation.
Follow through with the DNR issues. And I do need to make a comment here relative to planning commission and staff's activities. Remembering the probably our discussion we had with the city attorney, it was important that the city maintain a consistency in their operation relative to this particular development. Any deviation would have caused an issue. So, could we have postponed it? Nobody asked for it, but sure, we could have done that, but that would have been a deviation from our normal routine. For those of you in the audience, we publish, Nick does a tremendous job on a document that's a project tracker, and that goes out, every week at least?
Yep, every Wednesday.
And everything's laid out as to when it's going to happen. So this is not a blame, it's just saying we maintain our organization and our activities for this project the same as we do for everyone as a matter of routine. So. Alderwoman Mayor.
Actually, I want to make a motion to rescind the prior action of March 3rd.
With the wording of the city attorney?
Correct.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Discussion of the motion. Of course, four affirmative votes. Seeing no discussion, roll call, please.
Alderman D'Andrea.
No.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Evans.
No.
Alderman Evans.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
The vote passes. The vote is four ayes, two noes, no abstentions. Is there any other item action regarding this item? Alderman Wellen.
You said it was consistent to not deviate from our normal practice. The fact that three plan commission members, including the alderman, were not present, it was already a deviation from the normal practice and should have been consideration on that item. And I would ask that in the future, if you have half the plan commission gone and the district alderperson not available, that you might at least want to have it enter the thoughts that maybe it would be worthwhile to table the item.
Yes, Mr. City Attorney.
Just for clarification, ask the alder person move-in, did that include essentially all four that I read in, which included that primary motion to rescind? Because then there was a second motion to direct staff to provide that information, take it to the Board of Water Commissioners, and then return it to the Common Council with the information from the DNR review.
Yes.
So it included all those that I read in earlier.
Those two, but I don't
the
know.
Other, the other two were motion to direct plan commission to consider rescission based upon potential action of the council because of the condition in the site plan with regard to the water extension agreement. And the last one was motion to direct Board of Water Commissioners to review all of that information that I already mentioned.
They all seem rather connected.
So that's a yes?
Yes.
Is there any objection?
That was your understanding and your second.
That's
any
acceptable.
Objection from the council? Specifically to affirm the votes? Okay, motion carries as announced. All right, we did item F, which was letters and petitions from Mr. Salmon. So we'll move on to the regular order of business. Item G, G1, consent agenda. Any requests for separate action? Is there a motion regarding?
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Alderman Wilhelm.
Could we have the financial reports pulled out of consent agendas?
Is there a motion to reconsider the approval of the consent agenda?
No, I don't, and that's not what I'm asking. I'm talking about it in the future. Could we just?
Sure.
Thank you.
Item G3. Here we go again. Resolution conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map, a redivision of parcel 2 certified survey map 7251 being part of Wolfville Road, Jack Stiza and his wife Alice Stiza, applicant, 9745 west of Wolfville Road. Mr. Alderman Mayor.
Is anyone here to speak on that?
Stats is here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Who is I'm?
Schmidrucki, Test Manor and Fox, attorneys on behalf of Jack and I, Alice, and their daughter Kay is here as well.
Good, thank you.
So I would move to suspend regular rules so we can hear from them.
And let the record reflect that Alderwoman Mayer has left her seat. Is there
second?
And she has returned. All those in favor to suspend?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Questions? Alderman Mayor.
Do you want to give us a brief description of the reason for this? And
the lot my client purchased is a rather large lot. He would like to split it and build his home on it, on one of the lots and not both. The split of two lots would be consistent with the zoning ordinance and most all the other houses in the subdivision. So if you looked at the lot, there's three lots that actually have bought the back of his one lot right now, so we're just asking it to be split in two. It would be more consistent with the rest of the lots there, and it fits the zoning ordinance as well. We've met all the requirements from that standpoint. So,
and I just want to get clarification. I know you said he plans to build on one of the lots. I just want you to repeat that for sure. He's definitely going to build on one of the parts that is divided. He's not, in other words, he's not just buying the lot to split it up to make money on the deal. He's planning on...
Correct. His intention is to build on it. It, frankly, it was too big for the house that he wanted to put on it. Made more sense, which I think is better for the city of Franklin as well, that you'd have two more reasonable houses on that lot, consistent with the rest of the neighborhood. So that is his intention, yes.
Is there anyone else representing the homeowners in the audience?
Alderman, as you know, I did speak with Mr. Lagarakis, who objects to this. He's the neighbor directly to the east. Frankly, I share his objection, but unfortunately here again, due to the state laws and our zoning ordinances, there's very little I can do about it, but the division of these two parcels, in my opinion, is detrimental to the area, but unfortunately, contrary to what you say, the neighbors to either side and across the street, which this home, but here, Mr. Lagarakis realizes the futility in the argument and says, thank you, Alderman, for your time, and thank me for my time, and that's the way it is.
And I concur with that analysis. So.
With all due respect, there is one other person. Are you together, or is
yeah.
this different? Okay.
We're together.
Okay, so he's expressed your side of it, all right. Okay.
Thank you very much. Motion to go back to a regular order.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I express my opinion. However, this is one of those things. Is there action regarding this item? None is required, by the way. Is there action regarding this item? Mr. City Attorney?
Just for the sake of accuracy and people listening to audios of records and the like, the attorney for property owner did not say that they are not going to sell the other lot or that somebody is not going to build on that. Okay. So just to make sure the alderman understood that.
The intention was to build is what I understood.
Yeah, not build on one and keep the other one vacant. Didn't hear
right.
that.
Just to reiterate, this will automatically be approved without action of the council. Is there action regarding this item?
I'm going to move to approve just so that we can get a discussion so I can put one more comment on the record.
Second.
Alderman Mayor.
I'm opposed to this as well. I see no legal way we can stop it either. I think the person's bought the properties in that area with the expectation that this was a larger lot. And so I think to maintain the integrity, I think it should have been maintained, but I do understand your reasoning for wanting to split it, and I do understand that legally there's nothing else we can do.
You want to draw your motion? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Motion on the floor to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's take a, 10 minutes? Or are you on? Move on. Item G4, a resolution to reimburse Victory to Lamb Church for expenses relating to the design of City Park, potentially located at 11120 West Loomis Road. Mr. City Engineer.
As you know, we've been discussing Kayla's Park, several meetings for several months now. Originally, it was intended to go at Victor the Lamb site at 11120 West Loomis Road. And as you know, we went through several iterations. We looked at several site alternatives because of the park, the playground that we were looking at. We required the applicant to redesign their site several times. Ultimately, the site was chosen to go to another location, and as part of all of the status updates I've been giving you, we were looking at reimbursing the church for those efforts, extra design efforts it took to go through hoops to design our park, and that's what this is. So it's come to $35,000. $233.19, I do have supporting documentation. I don't think I brought it with me, but I did forward it to you earlier.
I do support this. Is there a motion to approve a resolution to reimburse the Victory Lamb Church for expenses relating to the design of a city park attempted to be located at 11120 West Loomis Road?
Mr. Mayor, given the...
Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Alderman Schmidt.
Well, given the fact that this breakdown was just given to us, transmitted to us this afternoon, I would like to see this tabled for another meeting so we would have a little more time to digest what exactly has been involved here for us to take responsibility for. So I would direct that this be tabled till the next meeting.
Alderman Willem.
I had enough to read with the council packet and enough information to try to decipher, and I got this information about the time I was heading out to the licensing committee earlier. I have had no time to read an extra 9 pages of information. I agree that tabling is in the best interest of the public. I would say that we should not only table it, that we should insert the additional 9 pages into the public record into the next council packet. So the residents who have questions, who keep saying, please be open with the process, can see that. So I can't support the motion to move forward with something when there are 9 pages of items missing from the public documents. And I would urge my colleagues to not act in that manner. Mr. Morrow, you're new, and there's a 2001 or 2002 policy that any pertaining information be inserted into the council packets, and I know that you probably aren't familiar with that yet, so I understand, you know, that you why you might have not done that. But the emails, I did have enough time to open them up and look at the information. It was dated April 6th and April 7th, and today's the 21st, so that's information that didn't have to wait until right before the meeting. So I won't support the motion as it stands.
Okay, just to keep the conspiracy theorists at bay, which is what this is about, in the council action sheet published on Friday and included in the packet was a breakdown for line items of the expenses and the time involved. What the council received, albeit late, I agree, was a breakdown of those costs further. So there's a motion on the floor. Is there a wish to rescind or a wish to withdraw? Alderman Dandrea?
I'm wondering if I withdraw, the ultimate outcome is going to be the same, because all it is a breakdown of the numbers that we have here. So, no. I'd rather have this project continue to move forward.
Any other discussion? Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I could say that there's no guarantee that that's the way it will be. Let's be open and transparent about it. I don't see what holding it off for one council meeting is going to make a difference. Why wouldn't we want to give the information to the public? I just don't understand why you wouldn't want all the information available. I had very little time to look at that. I have questions on the dates. I didn't have time to print it off. I shouldn't have to use my private ink, which is down to nothing, to print it just so I can bring it to the meeting. I'd like a copy of it in my box. I'd like a copy of it in the packet. That's not requesting that much. Please. I mean, you've got people out here that are begging to be notified about information. What difference would it make to table it for 2 weeks?
Well, I can amend this motion.
There's a motion on the floor, otherwise I would.
Well, we're having a discussion. I would amend the motion to for staff to add this to the package and before it's published. But I believe it should still be voted on and moved forward.
Was Alderman Evans second to that?
I'll second that.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No. No.
Roll call, please.
Alderwoman Mayor?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
No.
Alderwoman Evans?
Aye.
Alderwoman Loham?
No.
Alderman Mayor?
No.
Alderman Dandria?
Aye.
With inclusion in the packet materials, Mayor votes aye.
It was
2-4. I'm sorry, 2-4. Motion fails. My apologies. Sorry about that. I haven't learned to count yet. So a motion fails. Item G, G5, Kayla's Crew Playground Status.
Do you want to table?
Make a motion.
Motion to table to the next council meeting and have all pertaining information to the item included in the council packet for the public's observation.
Okay. Second. Define all.
All pertaining information that's available.
Again, I ask you to define all.
I'll let whoever's putting that together, who's been the holder of that, to make that determination.
Okay, just understand that they gave you information, they gave you more, and that wasn't enough. So is there a second to that motion?
Mr. May, this isn't that difficult. I just asked for the items that were emailed to me and the items that are in the council packet to return. I'll amend
my
motion.
That's a different motion, so thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Well, it was pretty clear by the discussion, but I would like the information in the council packet to return, the information that was emailed to us as of late today on the 21st, and any other additional new information that should be made aware to the council to be inserted into the council packet for our decision and for the public's information.
Alderman Schmidt, do you understand, and is that your second?
Yes.
Okay, it gets worse, but I'm going to go ahead here. All right. Any other discussion of that motion?
Well, I'd like
Alderwoman Evans.
I'd like to make sure the city engineer understands what that information is.
I believe I'll give the city clerk tomorrow and verify. I don't think I would have any more information. I summarized it for the council packet. I included a couple supporting emails, but all the information is in your packet.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Want to do this or take a break?
Let's take a break.
Let's do 10 minutes. Be back here at 8:55.